Micah chapter 2, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. Matthew somewhere in there. Micah chapter 2. We're going to go ahead and start with a word of prayer and then just get going. 15 minutes-ish? Sweet. All right, let's pray. Lord God, thank you for who you are. God, thank you for your grace, for your love. God, your patience. Thank you for your forgiveness. All your attributes, God, many things. So much to thank him for, as the song says, Lord. But God, thank you that we can assemble in this place freely. Thank you that we can assemble this place in unity and fellowship around your word. And Lord, I pray that you would be blessed and glorified. And just thank you for all the things that you're still doing. God, if you were finished, we'd be out of here. But you're still working. You're still moving. You still have a desire to see souls saved. And you still have a desire to use us. And Lord, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Micah chapter 2, verse 8. We'll get there in just a minute. But one of the most, this is a military town with Coast Guard base and other things around here. One of the most amazing sights that I ever beheld was when my dad would return from deployment. He was out in Los Angeles. He was on the USS Peleliu, number 5. Got to take a Tiger cruise to Hawaii. Hoorah. Fun stuff, right? Gator Navy. But anyways, coming back after 6 months, you see all those men on the side of the ship dressed up. Right? Standing at attention or whatever they were. But it's just a sight to behold. But that's not the only sight that you would behold there. What you would see also is wives, children, family members that are sitting, well, not, I don't know about anymore, but that's way back in the day. They would be standing there waiting for this ship to dock because their family members are coming back from war. The wives, a lot of them, not all of them, I'm sure, but a lot of them were dressed up. You know, they put on their best gown or whatever, and their hair was done, their makeup was done. They wanted to look beautiful. The kids were there, you know, probably getting dirty, but the kids were there, excited to see mom or excited to see dad. They'd be coming back from 6 months, right? There was just an excitement. It was a beautiful thing, really, really it was, looking back. Our verse isn't that. It's actually the opposite of that. Because what I was just talking about was a great expectation, a great love, and a great joy and excitement. Somebody's coming home. Our verse, we're looking at, well, let's just read it. Even of late, my people has risen up as an enemy. Ye pull off the robe with the garment from them that pass by securely as men averse from war. See what he's saying here? These soldiers, these military personnel, they've spent 6 months, they spent a year. We went through the Korean and the Vietnam War and conflict, and they spent all that time, and they survived malaria, and they survived the insects, and they survived the snakes, and they survived the Viet Cong, and they survived all the things of war to come back. And this is the history of our country, to be spit on, to be rallied against, to be politicized. We in America, we looked at our troops coming back from war and we dumped all the trash on them. And that's what Israel's doing here. And Micah's going to go through and God's condemnation to Israel is, hey, you're socially, you're all messed up. That's where this falls in the context. And we can recognize this. Now, my goal isn't necessarily to hit on this political point where we're messing with our police officers. We're turning our police officers against us, you know? That's not necessarily my point today, but shame on us if we allow the police officers, those that risk their life, they leave their families every single morning. They strap on a gun or a weapon or whatever, mace, a taser. And they go out and protect this community and communities all across this nation for what? To be dumped on? Now, that's not what I'm here to say today, but shame on us if we allow that to happen. But what I want to talk to you guys about today is more of a spiritual aspect of this. Two aspects, really. The church and the house, or our families. Because what we have here is we have a group of people that have given their lives. And they expected, maybe, to find it out there, to find death. They expected, maybe, to give their life for their country. But now they're coming back from war. Now they're coming back from the conflict, and they're walking securely. They're walking safely. Their guard is down. I'm not in battle anymore. I'm amongst my people. And that's where they're ripping off the garments. They're ripping off the robes. They're finding violence at home. And I see us going out to work. I see us struggling out in the world, right? And we're putting it in. And we're the minority out in the world amongst our, you know, not us at work. But you're the minority in the workplace. And you're trying to be a light. You're trying to be a testimony. And you're trying to be a good example for others to see. You're trying to be a model of Jesus Christ for the world. And then we expect sometimes out there we're going to suffer for Christ. We don't expect it when we come in here. And yet, here's what we find when we come in here. When I was talking to somebody about this, hey, the world's too rough out there for us to be coming in here bringing our drama, to be bringing our bitterness, to be bringing our anger, in our frustrations. This ought to be a place for us to get together and fellowship and smile and have joy in the Lord and rejoice and lift our hands or however you worship, but say, glory to God. And yet so many times what we find is, well, I don't like red pews. I think we should have blue pews. I know that's not any of us. We're not that petty and we're not that carnal. Praise the Lord. But so many times, I don't like the way that this is done. I don't think we should do things this way. Listen, we expect that out there. But what we ought not have in here is that conflict. We ought not have that conflict. Take your Bibles and turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And something that probably one of the greatest messages I ever heard. Maybe I've shared it with you before. I know I've shared it with the teens. I already like it. Have I shared that with you before? Greatest message. One of the greatest messages I've ever heard. I already like it. Why? If you already like it, then it doesn't matter. Hey, what color is the pavilion going to be? Doesn't matter. I already like it. Hey, how big is it going to be? It doesn't matter. I already like it. Where is it going to be? On top of your house? Hey, I already like it. Who cares? It's fine. If we already like things, we don't have to worry about conflict in the church. We can get down to the real business of worshiping our God. But so many times what we have is just, and I've mentioned this many times, it's about me and it's about you. And when our agendas don't line up, then there's conflict. Listen, we expect that out there. The soldiers expected that out there. But when the soldiers return home from battle, when they return home from war, they expect peace and safety. And when we come in these doors, this ought not be a place for adversity. This ought to be a place of rejoicing and joy unspeakable and full of glory. Look what Paul says here to the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Look at this. There is one body, right? One Spirit. You got the same Spirit that I do. You're a part of the same body that I'm a part of. So many times, I don't like what I do in the church. Hey, you're a part of the body. God brought you here to fulfill a very specific role, and not a single one of us are here on accident. You're here because God brought you here. God wants you here. God wants you to serve here and be a part. Well, I don't really like what I don't want to be the one to take out the trash, or I don't want to be the one to necessarily do the bathrooms or whatever. Hey, we all make up the body, and we all have a role to fill. Praise the Lord for those prayer warriors out there. Hey, they might not do much lifting, but they're surely lifting a lot of prayers. Praise the Lord for them. Thank the Lord for the senior saints who maybe can't go and run the tracks up and down the streets and the highways and byways, if you will, but they're imparting wisdom and knowledge to the next generation. Amen. So one body, one spirit. I'm thankful I have the same spirit that you do. The same spirit of Christ that dwells in me, if you're saved, dwells in you, and we're unified. It's not me and my agenda, but it's God's agenda. There is one body, one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And here's what we do. Instead of taking the unity that we find in the scriptures, there's one God, one Savior, one purpose, guys. And it's not me. And it's not you. It's our God. It's His glory. And so many times what we do is we bring the conflicts that are out there in here. And look, there's more that could be said, but suffice it to say, the world's too rough out there for us to be at odds with one another. If we're going to see the Lord use us, we have to be unified. Put away the squabbling. Put away the difference. Who cares if it's Ford or Chevy? Right? Right, Brother Charles? Okay, Ford. I know, it's only ever Ford. I know, I'm sorry. I got a Ford. But my dream van's a Chevy 15 passenger. But he said the Lord was good to me and giving me a Ford 15 passenger. Who cares about any of that? Hey, we may not ever agree on hunting or, you know, man, you got any hunters? Love, you know you're going hunting. You want. Listen, I heard this, a comedian say this, and it was so true and it's so funny at the same time. Never in your life have you ever heard Doug go up to Todd and say, hey, Todd, how about you and I go and take a little canoe ride real early in the morning on a lake, and it'll just be you and me, and we'll whisper to each other real softly. Todd be like, get out of my sight, boy. What's wrong with you? He said, no, we're going to take guns and shoot ducks. He's like, yeah, I'm game. Let's go. Let's go for lots of days. Just you and me, nobody else, right? Context changes things. We may not ever be unified in the fact that, Pittsburgh Steelers, no, New York Yankees. I know they're different sports. I get that. You know, I get all that. We may not ever be agreed on any of that, but we can be agreed on Jesus Christ. Right? We can have our differences out there, and most things don't matter. But when we come in here, it's one book. It's one God. It's one way of salvation. It's one body, guys. Right? We expect that out there. We should never expect that in here. And I've loved the spirit of this church, but I've also seen some churches that's not there. There's only fighting. That's the only reason they come to church, I think, is for fighting. Man, that ought ever be in the house of God. That ought not ever be our testimony. So there's that, the church. But then the second one is our families. I think probably the worst thing that any of us can ever experience is to go out, hard day of work, we're pushing through the traffic, and we're fighting with the customers, not fighting literally, but maybe, and we're having a rough time of life, and then we come home to our castle, our sanctuary, and then it starts. And it might be the husband, or it might be the wife, or it might be the kids, or it might be all of us at the same time. I shared a verse with the teens the other day just because the Lord gave it to me. And it's the Philistines talking when they take the Ark of the Testimony. He said, be strong. Quit you like men and fight. Why? The Philistines, oh no, they brought the Ark of the Testimony into the camp and now we're going to lose. And a man stands up in the Philistine army and says, hey, quit it. Would to God that we would quit our belly aching and quit our whining and be the leaders. Men, I'm picking on us. Fathers, husbands, men. This isn't Father's Day, so I could do this. We got a job to do. We have a family to run and kids to raise and a next generation to build up. We can't be adversarial with our wife and with our children. We don't have time for that. If we go to work every morning and then we dread coming home because we know it's going to start, something's wrong and the problem needs to be fixed with us because we're the men. We control the flow of our house. And I'm not saying because it's, you know, no, you need to go back out, Becky, you need, because you can't hear this. I'm just kidding. If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. That's nonsense. Mama's got a sin problem, if that's the problem, right? There's an idea of keeping peace in the house and making sure that the relationship is what it ought to be. And there's a lot of give and take in a marriage. Obviously, you guys have been married, most of you, much longer than I have. You know this. But if we go to work every day, and because it's peaceful there, and we dread coming home, we got a problem in our house. If we don't enjoy our kids and our kids don't enjoy us, we got a problem in our house. If our marriage, if we haven't said, I love you to our spouse, and I don't know where any of you are, and nobody said nothing to me, nobody's given me any money or anything, but if we haven't told our spouse we love them today, well, do you? I'll leave that there. But our homes are falling apart. And that means our churches are falling apart, which means our communities are falling apart. But it starts with us, dads, husbands. It starts with us. We're the key. And listen, these men in Micah here, they were coming back from war where they expected conflict, where they expected a battle. And they were coming home to their people who they were fighting for, whom they were defending, and that's where they encountered violence. Hey, listen. If our home's a wreck, it needs to start with me fixing myself. It needs to start with me humbling myself and going to my wife and my kids. And this may shock you, maybe it doesn't. But I let my kids give me conversations. That's what we call it. You can fill in what that really is. Because sometimes I mess up. I know most of you know that by now. We've been here for like 9 or 10 months. You know I mess up. And sometimes I let my kids give me my conversations. Why? Because I'm not above the law. I'm not above the house rules. Sometimes it takes me apologizing to them, saying, hey, Dad messed up, but I'm going to do better. Sometimes it takes me going to my wife saying, look, woman, you need to get your act right. And then she smacks me. And I said, oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm the one that's wrong, not you. Forgive me. But in all seriousness, we expect conflict out there. But it not ever come in here. And it ought not be in our houses. And you know your families better than I do. I'm going to say this. I've been here 9 months. I've seen some things. Just like you've seen some things in me. In my family, I've seen some things. I know things aren't perfect. No family is perfect. But if you want to get it right, that would be a great place to start. And dads, that's on us. We're going to make some changes. We're going to be unified in our house. No more of this fighting. I know fighting happens. No more of this arguing. No more of this name calling. For those of you who are not married, no more of this, well, I'll just leave. That ought never come into our lips. That we ought not ever utter those words. Well, I'm out of here. I'm done with this marriage. That's not an option. You stick it out. You fight it out. Are you fighting? Are you fighting out there? Because the fight's coming to us. But are you fighting in here? Are we fighting in our homes? Father, thank you for our time. And Lord, just this little word that you gave to me, I pray that you would encourage us all, Lord, that we would fight the right fights and leave off the conflict, Lord, at home and in church. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, brother. Our next favorite is number 84. We do so many things that are hard because we have a hope higher than us. Our hope is we have a mansion. It's got our name on it. Amen? And there's plenty of room. There's no population explosion that God has not already figured out. Number 84, Mansion Over the Hilltop. First and last verses, please. I'm satisfied with just a cottage below.